Give your brother Ken Gatewood. Sermon title. Now run and tell that. Scripture is Mark 5, verses 18 and 19. Scripture reader, Roy Darnell. Presiding at the Lord's table, Charles Hopkins Jr. and Nick Cimentero. Closing prayer, Glenn Johnson. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we are thankful. We're thankful for this day. We're thankful for this time you've given us to assemble for worship. We ask our blessing, Father, upon everyone who's present today and upon those who had a desire to be here but were unable. Be with us now, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I've come down here to the lower floor.
Number 54.
And sing numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Holy, 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 holy.
375. Numbers 1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm pressing on.
Let us bow. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, we humbly bow to you this morning, Lord, first and foremost, thanking you for another day of life, thanking you for the health and the strength and the ability to be able to get up this morning, get dressed, and be able to come and be able to worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you so much just for being the head of our lives, for being able to guide us, to direct us, Lord. Be able to show us, Father, to go in front of us, O God, to be beside us, Father, when we are weak and we are struggling. Lord, we just want to thank you for all of who you are. Lord, we want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came on this earth, Father, and died on the cross for remission of sin, Father, that we will not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, at this time we ask, God, that you will also just forgive us for all of our sins, Father, those known and unknown, Father, for as we walk on this earth, we know we struggle daily. But, Lord, we just thank you so much for showing us the way to go at all time and to have the grace and the mercy, Father, to forgive us. Father, we ask at this time, Father, that you will also bless those, Father, and comfort those, Father, who
who have been mentioned who are sick, Father, who are struggling, Father, who are traveling, oh Lord. We ask, God, that you will keep your ever-loving arms around them, Father. Bring them back, if it be your will, to bring them back to their appointed health, Father. Those who are traveling, Lord, we ask that you will bring them back safely, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask, God, that you will also overlook the remainder of this service. Father, we ask at this time, God, we pray, Lord, that everything that we've done to this point, Father, has been decent and in order and pleasing unto you. Lord, we ask at this time, Father, that you will bless Brother Ken on the studies that he's had, Father, that you guide his words, guide your words and the things that he say, oh Lord. Father, there is any in our audience today, Father, that your words touch them, or he says, Father, that will bring them more closer to you, Father. God, we ask, God, as we continue to go on in this life, Lord, that we continue to look to the skies, Father, for your guidance, for your understanding, for your wisdom, oh Lord. And God, we pray that everything that we do today, Father, is again decent and in order and pleasing unto thee. And all things that we pray in our Father is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and amen.
Sin number 300, preparation of the Lord's Supper. 300. Numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4.
When I serve
We've come to the time in our worship service this morning where we remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through the partaking of the Lord's Supper. And I just wanted to read just a couple verses here. This will be coming from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. I'll start at verse 22. This just provides some biblical reference and background for what the Lord's Supper is and what it represents. Mark 14, 22. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he gave it thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Surely I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." As we read there, brothers and sisters, the Lord's Supper consists of two emblems, as the bread which represents the body of our Lord, and the cup or fruit of the vine which represents his shed blood. As the Apostle Paul clarifies to the church in Corinth, this isn't a physical or common meal. This is a time of spiritual reflection. It's a time for us to clear our hearts and minds as Christians and reflect back on the cross, reflect back on Christ, and reflect back on what his sacrifice means for each and every one of us. So we'll give thanks for the bread, partake, and then we'll do so with the cup and fruit of the vine. So let's bow and offer thanks for the bread. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. At this time, Lord, we're ever mindful and thankful for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, Father. We're so thankful for his willingness to come to earth, Father, to live the perfect life that he did and set the example that he did, Father, and ultimately his willingness to go to the cross on our behalf, Father. And Lord, at this time, as we partake of this bread which represents his body, Father, we just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to clear our hearts and clear our minds, Father, and just reflect back on the cross and reflect back on Christ, Father, and that in doing so, we might be able to partake of this bread, Father, in a way and in a manner that's most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Lord. We ask these things, Father, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity to come together on the Lord's Day, Heavenly Father, to be able to come together and to gather around the Lord's table, to be able to come together in fellowship, Heavenly Father, to be able to come together in remembrance, to have this opportunity to clear our minds and to reflect on the suffering, the cruelty that our Lord and Savior endured, to know that no man could take his life, but that he willingly gave his life on that cross so that we may have hope at eternal salvation. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we're about to partake of this fruit of the vine that represents thy Son's precious blood, that we do so in a manner that would be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
We try to ensure that all Christians have the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, but it's possible somebody may have been inadvertently missed in the passing of the bread or the cup. So if you were missed in either emblem, if you'd signal to us now by raising your hand, and you'll be served at this time. I don't see any hands, so that concludes the Lord's Supper. And next we'll move into another portion, another act of worship on the first day of the new week, and that concerns giving. Now the Apostle Paul, he wrote to the church in Corinth, clarifying in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1, that giving is part of worship that we do on each first day of the week. He also wrote to the church again in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. This was concerning the mindset and the heart that Christians should have as we have that opportunity to give back. And I'm just going to read a couple verses from there. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting with verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully, so that each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And those verses, brothers and sisters, those speak to the heart and mindset that, you know, we as Christians should have as we have that opportunity as part of our worship to give back to the Lord just a small portion of what he's so richly blessed and bestowed upon each and every one of us. So let's keep that in mind, brothers and sisters, as we go to God and give thanks for the opportunity now to give. Would you bow with me? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we once again bow before your mighty throne, Father. This time, Lord, we're ever mindful and thankful for all the many, many blessings of life that you've so richly bestowed upon each and every one of us, Father. And Lord, as we have this opportunity as part of our worship on the first day of the week, Father, to give back just a small portion of what you so richly bless us with, Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to have that cheerful heart, have that willing heart, Father. And we pray, Lord, that the collection received, Father, would help to further the work of the church here and broaden the borders of your kingdom, Lord. We ask these things, Father, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Number 856, mark that in for this. It'll be the Psalm of the Earth. 856. Number 903. It's all sin in this room if you're able to sin. 903. Numbers 1, 2, and 5.
Oh, beautiful voice, gracious God, forever wait for us.
This morning's lesson is entitled, Now Run and Tell That. The scripture reading for the lesson will come from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. I'll be reading from the King James Version. And when he came into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Now, Brother King Gatewood.
Good morning. Indeed, it's a pleasure and an honor to stand before you to proclaim the Word of God. And I'd like to thank the elders at this time to allow me to stand here to talk about the Word of God. But one thing before we get into the lesson, yesterday was awesome. For the ones that came and helped, I think we got blessed more than the people that got the stuff, amen? I got sent, I usually don't take my phone out, but I got sent a text, and I like to read it to you. It said, you might want to convey this to the church. Sharon English, 8-year-old neighbor, showed her his new coat. And he said he was so happy because it was the first new coat he's ever had. That's awesome. Those are the kind of things we're going to try and continue to do to help the community, to allow them to know that Jesus Christ lives within us, and we want to help. Sometimes we forget about the ones online that are unable to attend this service, but we offer you also a way to respond. If you're in need of prayer, if you wish to repent, we're just a call away, and we'll take care of those needs. Let us pray. Dearly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to learn more about thy word. But dearly Father, as we learn about thy word, allow us to allow it to sink deep within us, in our souls, in our hearts, in our minds, that when we see someone, we may run and tell how good you have been to us. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. You know, instead of Brother Darnell reading all the scriptures, I only had him to read Mark 5, 18, and 19. But if you'd like to turn back to chapter 5, we'll start with verse 1 through 20 we'll be talking about this morning. Verse 1. And they came over unto the other side, the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often bound with fetters and chains, and had been plucked asunder by him, the fetters broke into pieces, neither could any man tame him. And because, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. First, I'd like to establish who come up out of the ship. We find in chapter 4 that Jesus and his disciples are the ones that came out of the ship. But I want you to see something about disciples. They are the ones that just wondered what master would let them perish while a storm of wind and waves beat against the ship. But they turned around and feared exceedingly, And after that, they turned around and said, "Help me." But then they asked the question, what manner of man this was that could calm the sea? You know, in our own life, our God in Jesus Christ has blessed us in ways that we don't understand. But we are doing the same thing in theory with Jesus and our God. Being in fear or questioning because of what has been done for us. But most of the time, we put our stock into who? Man. And if a man didn't do it, we tend to question what Jesus or God had done. You see, we got friends that count on us. And we got friends we can count on. We got loved ones that we can count on. We got doctors we can count on. But sometimes we tend to put them before who? Jesus Christ and our Father God. I want to tell you something this morning. Some of these loved ones and some of these friends have shown up late in your life. So who was there when you didn't know how to make it? Who was there when you tried to push your way through? Who was there when you were struggling and no one was around? It was Jesus and our Father God that carries you through. But who was this man that was dwelling in the tombs? We know this man wasn't in his right mind. Because of the demons that lived inside of him. Today we would call it the graveyard, right? Where he was living. So we know he wasn't in his right mind. I was to ask you a question. I want you to move into the graveyard. I want you to stay all night. I hear a lot of And I'm going to tell you, this night, there is no moon. It is dark. We have no lighting anywhere. You can't see your hand in front of you. And then we add a little creaky noise. I think you would say, feet don't fail me now. Amen. You see, this man was out of his mind. He was so out of his mind with demons inside that the people in the city even tried to bind him, but he plucked the chains apart from the fetters when broke into pieces. Neither could any man tame him. You see, in our own lives, we can't be tamed when it comes to sin. Our loved ones try to talk to us. They try to keep us in a safe place. They try to tell you more about God's word because the blindness Satan has put in our lives. They feared this man, but I want you to understand this part, that he was in the mountains crying day and night, cutting himself with stones. You know, if you were in the mountains, and I'm pretty sure a lot of you have, I know the Darnells went to Maine, so I know they were in the mountains. And you stand there and you say, hello, you hear, hello, hello, hello. You just hope it don't answer back. You can imagine what the city heard that day and night. This man was being tormented. This man had lost it all. This man had demons inside of him. I want you to know, when you're in sin, we're cutting ourselves with stones of this world. I want you to notice one thing in verse 6. Verse 6 says, he saw Jesus and sat down. No. He saw Jesus and he turned his head. No. He turned around and looked up in the sky. No. But what did he do? He ran and worshiped him. Now this man that's out of his mind with demons inside, but he knew Jesus, the Son of God. I want you to think a moment. You got Jesus walking up and Satan realizes who he is. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? That Satan actually recognized Jesus Christ, these demons. This gives us hope because the demons worship Jesus. Then if we were in darkness, we too can find our way to Jesus Christ and our Father God. Sometimes in our life, we're going down a path, and we think we're doing okay. We get on down the road, and next thing you know, have you ever had this in your life? You turn around and you say, how did I get here? You know what I'm talking about. Because Satan works in mysterious ways too. He can put us in a path that we think we're doing okay. Oh, I'm talking to this brother and sister in Christ. I'm telling the world what's going on. But sometimes, and I've been hearing this a lot, you better look at yourself. You better check yourself. Because sometimes if we don't do that, look in the mirror and see the reflection, you will be lost. Life is too short. Looking at verses 7 through 13. And cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what is thy name? He answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there on nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. In 13 it says, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And a herd ran violently down a steep place in the sea. They were about 2,000. And they choked in the sea. You know, if we were to look back on the same account in Matthew chapter 29, it breaks it down a little more for what Mark 5:7 says. And behold, they cried out, saying, "Have we to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of God?" In other words, these demons were saying, "What are you here for? We were minding our own business. So why are you here?" But why would the demons say this? It says also that, "Art thou come hither to torment us before time?" You see, Satan already knows what's going to happen. You hear what I'm saying? He already knows that God has only given him a certain amount of time. He's only allowed him to be here and reign before he gets tormented even more. Well, what day is that when that starts? What day is that when that starts? Judgment Day? That's when he will realize his time is up. They already knew Jesus, our Father God, and they knew their part in sin, that they would be tormented. They just thought they had more time. Come on now, you know what I'm about to talk about, amen? When we're in sin, we want to say, "Jesus, why are you here? I'm having a time of my life. I need more time. When I get my life right, I'll come to you." Sound familiar? Have you heard that? That's a little backwards, isn't it? Don't get me wrong. I'm talking to myself, too. We're in this race together. We're striving to finish the race, and we want to hear, "Come unto me and have everlasting life." Looking back at verse 8, we see Jesus' compassion on this man. And he said, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." You see, also this gives us hope that no matter where we are in our lives, God our Father will allow his Son that died on the cross to raise up on the third day and ascend into heaven so we, after baptism, can be cleansed of that unclean spirit. In verse 9, we read, he asked the demons, "What is your name?" And he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." In the Roman army, legion is about 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. So you know this man was totally out of his mind with all those demons inside. But sin can feel like that, like the weight of all these soldiers. You see, we must acknowledge where we are in our lives and change that burden. And it will be lifted. But we have to give our lives to Jesus Christ. How many times have we thought we could do it on our own? How many times have we got on our knees and prayed and got up and carried it with us? We do that. But we need to trust God and Jesus Christ more. In verses 12 and 13 we read, we see the demons even thinking they could put one on Jesus. "Since you're not going to torment us now, allow us to go into the swine." Jesus said, have you heard this before in our lives? Sure. Go right ahead. I say that a lot with Kendall. Now, can you take MJ to school? Sure will. But the swine couldn't live with the demons inside. So they took their own lives. You know, sometimes we can look at that where the swine says, "I can't take these demons inside, so I'd rather die." Remember, they are the swines. We are temples of God. If sin enters our life, taking our own lives will be a sin. You hear what I just said? We have had Christians get to a point that they can't go on anymore, and they want to go. They want sin gone. They want to not wake up in the morning and have that burden on their shoulders. They want to be able to just be in peace. Then find Jesus. That's our answer. That's our answer. And he will carry you through. Sometimes we feel when we're in sin, we just can't pull one on Jesus. Think about it. We think, oh, he can't see us. He don't know what we're doing. If Bob can't see me, oh, man, I know I'm doing okay. But our faith will end in the lake of fire. That's where our fate will end. Looking at verse 14. And they that fed the swines fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was that what is it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had legions inside, sitting and clothed and in the right mind. Here come again, where we talk about the disciples earlier, they did the same thing because of what Jesus had done. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of the coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go to thy friends and tell, run and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee, and have compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men, listen to that part, all men did marvel. We look back at verse 14 through 17. You can imagine sitting there feeding the swine, and all of a sudden they're possessed. They start acting crazy and out of their mind, and then just take off over the hill and down in the water to die. First, I think we would ask ourselves, what just happened? What just happened? But when they came to their senses, they thought about all the herd was gone. What do we do? What do we eat? You know, them hams and, I don't eat pig's feet. Or them pig tails. We're going to leave that alone. Ham. Amen. When they thought more about it, they said, we better go tell the city. Not did they stop at the city, they went and told the country to let them know what just happened. Now, you know how things change when someone sees something and goes and tells somebody else. You know how that goes. You line up 10 people, and you start with number one. You could probably just say, Jesus loves me. And at the end, I bet you it'd be God loves me. It changes. I can imagine they blew it up. And why? I can imagine that because they all come back and worked up and ready to attack. Well, you know, you can't fool with people when you take the food. Somebody reach over in your plate, you may take your fork in. You better get your hand back. Amen. But they were upset when they got their minds, when their minds were blown, because now this man, the man that had all these legions, he was sitting there with a sound mind. This man was sitting there and clothed. We look at different people when we become a Christian. This is a perfect example. When you become a Christian and you come up out of that water, think about it. You become new. You can be sitting clothed in Jesus Christ and of a sound mind. What's going on? They would say, how this could be true, but not understanding, not allowing their minds to see the miracle. They grew afraid. Then they saw what happened. And they began to pray. What were they praying? This is what the world does. What were they praying? That this man had been made whole. But they prayed for him to do what? Depart. That's what they wanted. That's what happens when Jesus gets in your life. The man was made whole, and he felt he had no one. Think about that when you become a Christian. Sometimes you may feel alone, but you're not. That's why he decided to go with Jesus. But in 19, he was encouraged to go home to his friends and do what? Tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and had compassion on thee. In our lives today, we sometimes will be in the same situations. We are in a group and we're living in sin from the demons inside. We think there's no tomorrow. But one day, someone comes into our life because they believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And they were told to run and tell that about Jesus Christ. When they told him about Jesus Christ, you decide to follow him and your life is changed. When your life changed, the ones you called friends, the ones you were living up in the world, now look at you differently. Because these friends didn't stand for the truth. These friends never encouraged someone to do well. But now, by someone running and telling me about Jesus Christ, he changed me. Now, what do you do? Because this group had a different thought about that person. Now, when they come back to him, they see that his life has changed. And when they see he's looking up to Jesus and wanting to walk the walk and talk the talk, they say, you can't be my friend no more. Well, they wasn't your friend in the first place. So many times people are quick calling because you found Jesus. But don't let that be discouraging. They say you must leave. Because they grew afraid. But don't grow discouraged. Don't go running away. Don't sit there and get scared because outside these walls the world doesn't like me. Get out of the ship. Get out of the between these walls and run and tell somebody about Jesus. Because Jesus is with us. Jesus stands behind us. Jesus will lift us up and give us the strength to plant the seed that he told us to spread. My God will give the increase. So get out of the walls, out of this ship, and now run and tell that. There's a song that's named Run and Tell That. Joyce, I introduced it to her, and she said, you got to let me have that one. Praise the Lord what he has done for you. What did that mean? When you got up this morning, did you thank God Did you praise him? Or did you forget? Because when you turned, that clock went off, my alarm went off, I was able to reach over and hit the snooze button. Because God blessed me. He blessed you. He has opened up the door for another opportunity for each and every one of us to be right here, right now. But how many times we don't say thank you? You want to be a mighty witness to the things he has done for you. You ought to run and tell that. Let me tell you about a man from Galilee, how he healed the sick and he healed me. You ought to run and tell that. One silent night a long time ago, God came into the world with Jesus just to let us know. If you took up the cross and followed him, there isn't no way to be condemned. Now run and tell that. I want you, before I close, take your songbook. Don't worry, I will not be singing. To 999. My God is real. Please, read along silently as I read. And I want you to think about these words. There are some times, there are some things I may not know. There are some places I cannot go. But I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel him deep within. Some folks may doubt, some folks may scorn, all can go on and leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part, and God is real, for I can feel him in my heart. I cannot tell just how you felt when Jesus took your sins away. But since that day, yes, since that hour, God has been real, for I can feel his holy power. God is real, real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, and I can feel him in my soul. Now run and tell that. If you believe what you just heard and what you were reading with yourself, don't keep it to yourself. How you think you got baptized? How you think you heard the word of God? Somebody had to run and tell you the good news. They told us that if you live your life according to what the scripture said, you can have everlasting life. But you see, one thing I think we should add, we need each other to make it. So if you look around and you see someone not here, you want to be able to call them up when you get home. Run and tell them, Jesus loves us. Jesus wants to help us, and Jesus wants us to be with him, with his Father, our Father, God. But how can you do this? You have to first look within yourself. You got to look within yourself, not the one sitting beside you, not someone sitting at home. We got to start with self. Take a check. Is my life right with God? Have I been running and telling that Jesus Christ is my Savior and he can be yours too? If you're outside of Christ, we ask you to do that. Look at yourself. If you need to repent, come forward. Let God know Sometimes we may think what they write on these cards is everybody's business. But that's between you and that elder and God. So don't let that hold you back. Look within yourself. And if you're not a Christian, you can put on him. You can come up out of that water, because that song also says when he came up out of that water, he looked at his hands and they were new. And I looked at my feet and they were too. Do you want that? You need that. Because that's the only way you're going to see Jesus and our Father God. If you need, I ask you to stand. Together we sing.
There's a fountain reaches for you and me. So let us take full faith to it bring. 'Tis the fountain of the Lord from the source of God. And he gives us for
Thank you.